Today on Secula, we're asking a question to all of you patriots. Will you vote? And why are you voting for the candidate you're voting for? We'll talk about that today on Secula.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secula. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secula.
All right, folks, we really want to hear from you today all across the country at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. What issue is driving you to the polls? What are you talking to your friends and family about to get them out to the polls in your community? What issues are controversial? What issues that you thought might have been top issues, like abortion, that have kind of fallen off the map? In fact, there's a new poll out by USA Today that when people were asked specifically whether it's inflation or abortion mattered more to them, just those two, they put it out like that, inflation or abortion. The survey showed they chose inflation by a double-digit margin, nearly 60-40. Now, that doesn't mean there's not a lot of people voting on abortion. That means that 40% of people are, but that's the minority vote right now. If you look at numbers previously, for instance, there's been a huge turnaround in the generic ballot. The generic ballot now favors Republicans by 4%. In July, when this same poll was taken, Democrats led that generic ballot by 4%. So you've seen an 8-point swing there. So, and this is, I think, what's most interesting as we start to get your phone calls in at 1-800-684-3110. This one is most exciting to me if true. 16% of voters who were undecided, and that's most of the undecided voters that USA Today polled in July, and that was a 16% number. That was it. They have now, almost all of them have made up their minds and moved to the GOP.
Yeah, and that's a gigantic shift.
So like 99.9.
So I think you've got the effect that we have right now, I believe, is that we have a momentum shift that's taking place, I'd say, in the last 3 weeks. And listen, part of it is, and we're going to get into this, because the economy is really reeling and people are really hurting. So that's a factor. Sure. Number two, I think, and I think we have to be clear on this, is you look at what motivates the voting base. And while the abortion issue is going to be this great, gather of momentum for the groups on the left, I don't think it has. It probably has given them some impact, but I don't think anywhere near what they thought it would be.
No, I think, again, they peaked too early on that issue in July. And, you know, numbers don't lie when it comes to the economy. So it's tough for people, even who are pro-abortion, to say, you know, I'm going to vote for these radical left candidates on this one issue when as Marsha Blackburn was on yesterday, and just in the state of Tennessee, your cost of just normal life has gone up $7,300 a year. Yeah. That's just spending exactly what you bought the year before. So not an extra, you know, not presents for Christmas, not a special trip, not a special vacation, because of gas prices, because of food prices. We are seeing all these numbers. Candy is up in the 13-14% during Halloween. And this inflation is affecting every part of life, and we're starting to get to that time of year where if people don't spend money like on presents, really impacts retailers.
I mean, retail, 50% of their revenue is in 1 month. Let me ask you this, though, because it is becoming a reality. The early voting is huge.
I did it today.
Okay, so what is that? What do you think that normally is not good for Republicans, right?
Yeah, I mean, normally it favors Democrats. So what you want to hope to see on election day when they start releasing the numbers about early voting more is where it happened. And you know basically by what area of the state, what county, what part of that county even, if the votes were coming from. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep it relatively close, Republicans carry the day on election day. If you see these big 20, 25-point swings, then you've got to make those numbers up on election day. So it's the big question. It's not so much, early voting versus same-day voting. It's we're hearing about record numbers, but is it just record numbers who are saying, I've had enough with these Democrats? I mean, that could be it, too. So, again, polling is tough. Don't put all your faith in that, absolutely. But the trend is in the favor of conservatives. We want to hear from you about why you think that's true at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Secula. Welcome back to Seculars. We ask, you know, what's motivating you to get out to vote?
Yeah.
And what is it an issue? Is it a candidate? Is it a cause? Is it just your civic duty? And what about your friends and family? What are you picking up on the ground? There's close races in every single state now. I mean, especially when you get down to the House level, when we're talking about Congress and who the balance of power in Washington, D.C. So let's go to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. We'll start with John in California on line one. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay. The reason I vote is not only, you know, being an American citizen, but a lot of good men and women sacrificed their lives so we had the privilege of voting. That's why I vote.
Listen, well, I think that's a reason right there.
I always tell people there's no excuse not to vote. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I mean, there are people that
and people are trying to go, oh, will my vote count? The answer is, yeah, your vote counts.
Yeah, we see very close elections. In these kind of years, when you have these ones right on the margin, it's not like Republicans are up 15 points in all of these races. So you could have some races that are decided by literally hundreds of votes.
Yep. So we're taking
statewide races.
Yep. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So the issue that, and we want to know what's motivating you to vote right now, but the issue that seems to be motivating a lot of people is the economy. And Professor Harry Hutchinson's in here with us in the studio. And Harry, when you say the economy, it's not just one facet. When the economy is what's motivating, you'll see these polls. Is it the economy? Yeah, the economy. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about mortgage rates. We're talking about energy prices. We're talking about home heating oil prices. We're talking about electricity. We're talking about food. We're talking about egg prices that have gone up 30 to 40% this year with no end in sight. And I think part of the issue that we have to face is the Biden administration does not have a strategy for combating price increases. They keep saying that President Biden is doing all he can to deal with inflation. Well, the American people, I think, have reached a collective conclusion that he can't do virtually anything other than fumble over his words. And so if you look at mortgage rates are the highest they've been in 20 years. The average home buyer is paying for a new house with mortgage 75% more this year vis-a-vis last year.
Okay,
is stunning.
I want to go over that again. So this is where it's real economics, folks. So a year ago, for your house, 75% less as far as costs go, than it is this year of actual real cost.
Absolutely. So the average person last year they're purchasing a house, they were paying $1,300 a month. Today, they're paying roughly $2,300
per
month.
Oh, yeah. That's just a double even the interest rates. Tripling, really.
Yes. The interest rates have more than doubled from 3% up to over 7%.
Yeah. Which means, by the way, that your $400,000 house you bought a year ago is costing you the equivalent, if you bought a year ago, an $800,000 house, roughly.
Roughly.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's impacting strong economies, weak economies. You're seeing across the country.
No one's immune to this.
No, that's the interesting part is that we live in one of those bubble cities in Nashville where it's been a big high growth city, but you're starting to see just a slowdown. It hasn't been like some of these other cities where you see the top 20 worst drops in house prices, but it's definitely a slowdown. And so if the cities that were on fire just a year ago have a slowdown, the cities that were already struggling to come out of 2020 and a lot of people leaving because of COVID restrictions and places like that, not only have the prices gone up, but also the cost of the mortgage gone up.
I mean,
but actually the price of your home is down.
Yeah, Virgil Rumble said, I'm voting to keep, in his case, Governor DeSantis and his governor in Florida. I'm voting because exactly what we were just talking about with Harry, the economy. Let's take Susan's call on line three.
Yeah, Susan also out of Florida on line three. Hey, Susan, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. Listen,
sure.
I voted this morning, actually, and the reason that I voted basically was because I retired from teaching last year, and I am watching my retirement go up. We're talking thousands of dollars. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory, but at the same time, I mean, I feel like this is so avoidable.
Can I say something about the, I want to follow up, Susan, on what you just said about your checking your retirement, because I did that yesterday too. It's pretty breathtaking. I mean, I don't get panicked over these things because you run in cycles in the equity markets. But Harry, I mean, when people are down, and there are companies that are down, their stock's down 40, 50, 60%.
Yes, the average 401k in the United States is down about 30% year over year.
I mean, think
and
about
it
this.
Is caused by the misfeasance and malfeasance of the Biden administration. And keep in mind, lots of these issues, they were foreseeable and they were avoidable. If you just focus for a second on energy prices, what did President Biden do on January the 20th, 2021? He basically shut down the Keystone Pipeline. He ended many oil and gas leases. That led to a rapid rise in energy prices. And now he wants to take credit because prices have leveled off. Well, I don't believe the American people are going to give him credit. And I think the Biden economic philosophy basically is going to come home to roost in a couple of weeks.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We got an interesting call coming out of on line one in Pennsylvania. We've got a line open at 800-684-3110. Let's take Kimberly's call.
Yeah, hey, Kimberly, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
I was going to ask you this question about what it means in Pennsylvania. Go ahead. Hi, Kimberly. Okay, she's not there. We're going to come back to her in a moment.
Yeah, let me go to Joe in Virginia online, too. Hey, Joe.
Hey, basically caught the show. I think our country's in awful bad shape. I'm a veteran, and I still serve. West Virginia Army National Guard. Yep. The reason I'm voting, I vote straight Republican.
Well, listen, I think there's a lot of people that is why some of these polls are complicated, right? Because most people you hear from are not, I'd say outside of New York, where you could see a Lee Zeldin win and a Chuck Schumer. Because
which is shocking.
New York voters have showed in the past that their willingness at the
Lee's
state
race
level.
Is tight. It's neck and neck.
Yeah, at the state level, they have voted Republican and also elected Democrats to the Senate at the same time. That's just something we've seen out of New York. So it's very much. It's very possible to see Lee Zeldin win as governor and also Chuck Schumer win.
Is the Schumer race got any?
It's gotten closer, but it's still
double
a double digit.
Yeah. So it's interesting that. Go ahead.
No. What I was going to say is most states, you do. I mean, when voters show up in midterms, they vote party line.
Yeah.
And so it's weird that you've got these polls like out of Georgia that show Kemp with
eight, nine, ten point lead.
Yeah. And Herschel Walker and Warnock statistically tied with maybe Walker with a couple point lead.
Georgia's not
you
in that kind of state generally.
You have to wonder on election. No, usually it's a party line kind of vote.
Yeah. So I want to go back to the economy for a second because you've got a situation, Harry, where you know gas prices were way up, then they came down a little bit. They're still high, and now they're back up again. And when you talk about when you underscore this, I think it's important for our listeners to understand when you say a year ago. The house cost is 75% less of real dollars we're talking about. Explain that because, folks, this is the analysis you need to be hearing because this is the reality of what happens when you have bad policies.
Well, essentially, the Biden administration has enacted four or five major inflationary laws, including the Inflation Reduction Act. And so that has spurred spending. That then spurs a price increase. In addition to all of that, the Biden administration has not solved the supply chain crisis issue. So we've had ships sitting off the coast in Los Angeles for months because they couldn't unload. The Biden administration has done essentially nothing about that. There is still a baby formula shortage in the United States. So on each and every issue that's important to the American people, the Biden administration has been found wanting. They've been absent without leave. So instead, they're focused on cultural issues that basically appeal to the elites, including their inordinate focus on abortion. The president of the United States took time out of his busy schedule, one would hope, a couple of days ago to sit down to talk with a TikTok artist. That's where the Biden administration is. They really don't care, at least in my opinion, about the American people. So increasingly, Hispanics, blacks, and all American people are turning away from the Democrats.
You know, I think, folks, again, we're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot of talk about here and different issues at stake, which we want to hear from you about. So at 1-800-684-3110, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ as well. That's at aclj.org. And again, you can find out there because we're, you know, we're talking elections today on the show, obviously. And we're going to be talking about that, you know, through November 8th and probably after November 8th. There's going to be some of these states, there's going to be a lot of counting to do on election day. So what again, we want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. What's motivating you, your friends, your family, your community to get out the vote? We'll be right back. Secular. We wanted a lot of interaction, and we're getting that today on the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. We've heard from people that have done what I did today. I voted early today in Tennessee, and we've heard from people that have already voted as well. I know some of you want to wait till Election Day. That's great, too. It's a timing issue, too. I mean, I think there's going to be massive turnout, and you're going to see, even on early voting, the closer that comes to coming to an end, the longer those lines will be. And then on Election Day, I'll tell you, just in the primary when I voted, it took almost an hour this time around. So you got to make sure, plan, go and do it, get it done. Whether you're going to plan out an early vote, whether you're going to plan out same day voting on November 8th, and make sure you know where to go. Because a lot of early voting, you can kind of go wherever.
Yep.
On Election Day, you got to be at your precinct.
Yep, at your precinct. Let's go ahead and go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's take Nancy's call out of Orlando.
Hey, Nancy. Welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, guys. Hi. I love you guys.
Thanks.
I appreciate all your services.
Thanks.
I just voted in person today. I've always mailed in my ballot, but the last time I did, I got a card in the mail saying they didn't receive it. So from now on, I'm voting in person. Also, I voted for Rubio because his stance on abortion, and because I'm an attempted a victim from an abortion that I survived from, I have a voice now. And I want to tell Val Demings that, yes, abortion is murder.
You know, it's very interesting. Nancy, first of all, I appreciate your call. It's very interesting that the left was convinced that the decision in Dobbs, this was the decision overturning Roe versus Wade, was going to be this groundswell of support for Democrats. And I think it's having an impact. C.C. Hiles with us here, but it's also motivating pro-life conservatives as well. So there's a dual action in this, I think. It's fair to say.
I would absolutely hope. I think the Democrats plan has somewhat backfired on them with the Democrats, because when they poll voters, they say that inflation beats abortion by a double-digit margin of, you know, why people are voting. However, I would say that as many Democrats as the abortion issue motivates to get to the polls, it should motivate even more pro-life voters to the polls. Because, yes, we did get a great Dobbs decision where the Supreme Court rightly said that abortion is not a protected constitutional right. But we need to get to the polls. We need to vote for pro-life candidates. And we need to make sure that if there is a pro-life measure on the ballot, or if there is an abortion measure on the ballot, that we get educated on those, because we know the ballot initiatives sometimes are worded very confusingly. Get educated and make sure that you turn out and you vote.
Justice Alito was speaking at the Heritage Foundation the other day, and he said that the leak of the opinion that overturned Roe versus Wade, the Dobbs decision, and this is his words, he called it a grave betrayal of trust by somebody, and it was a shock. Then he said the threat to the justices was not theoretical because, quote, it gave people a rational reason to think they could prevent that from happening by killing one of us. He then noted that a man had been charged with the attempted assassination of Brett Kavanaugh. When asked about the criticism, the court has strayed too far from public sentiment and risk being partisan, he said he has no problem with the public, the media, and the academy criticizing the court's reasonings, but he took issue with those who questioned the legitimacy of the court. And then he says, to say that the court is exhibiting a lack of integrity is something quite different. That goes to character, not to a disagreement with the result or reasoning. It goes to character. And folks, if you disagree with the Supreme Court opinion, and I have, opinions that we disagree with, It doesn't delegitimize the court. But I'll tell you what does put the court at risk and the institution of the court at risk. Leaking an opinion before it's been issued by the Supreme Court of the United States. And then the left becomes the left rallying cry. We don't hear a lot about that right now, Jordan. I don't know how it's going to play out politically. But that was an unbelievable breach and impacted one of our three branches of government directly.
Yeah, no, I think, again, this, it's it, to just understand for the Supreme Court justice, the idea that it was a push to have them assassinated. And that, that people thought in their head that, oh, if we kill one of these justices, somehow this will change the outcome of a case before the Supreme Court. And they're not getting, you know, these protesters that were outside their house that were violating the law because you cannot go protest to intimidate a judge to make a decision. None of them have been prosecuted. Not one. But they're showing up at the FBI to your door. If you showed up, if you protest an abortion clinic, you got 20 FBI agents at your door. So again, it is not equal justice under law right now when it comes to the Department of Justice.
And the fact of the matter is, CeCe, we don't know, and we've been monitoring this, we do not know of one FBI or Department of Justice action against any of the vandalism that took place at these crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers. Nobody has announced anything, but as Jordan said, we have all these people having, you know, 25 agents show up at their house at 7 o'clock in the morning because they were blockading access to an abortion clinic.
Right. So the DOJ, what we know, the DOJ has gone after 22 pro-life people that have protested in front of abortion clinics, 22 under the FACE Act. We do not know of one.
One of which has contacted us.
Yes, we do not know one that they have, the DOJ has gone after when they've firebombed, burned down the crisis pregnancy centers, threatened, intimidated. Not one do we know of there.
Tells you where the priorities are. Mary's calling from Maryland on line one. Mary, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yep.
I appreciate so much what you're doing for this country. I think it would be gone if it weren't for you, tell you the truth.
Thank you.
But my question is, or my comment is, I guess, I wonder how they worded the question about what was more important, economics or abortion. Because if it was just a question like that, I would say abortion, even though I hate it, because I'm going to vote because I don't want babies aborted.
Yeah, you know, but, Mary, you raised a really good point in the polling. What does it say, Jordan?
Yeah, I think that when that polling goes, it's probably abortion rights.
Yeah.
I would imagine it didn't just say abortion. These polls are not that simple, but it was. They did try to do a simple question: is it economy or abortion? I would probably add rights. So they were looking for the pro-abortion voter out there. But I do think, again, there are a lot of people that came to the Republican Party a few decades ago only on this issue, and then they've kind of learned about the rest of the Republican Party views and platform. And I think the Republican Party's actually moved more towards where they were politically on other issues. But they're not single issue voters, but top issue still is, what is your position especially as a federal elected official on abortion? And again, it's always been a driving issue for the right. The left is trying to use it this time as a driving issue. Yep. So that's what these polls are trying to see. But, you know, when the economy is the way it is, again, what we are seeing is that even pro-abortion voters are coming over to the right.
I think that's true. It's interesting also, in my view, that I think, as CeCe said, I think this has backfired somewhat because the leak of the opinion, which was egregious, but it motivated others, too, that are pro-life. And so I don't think it was a net-net. You could assume that all of this goes to the Democrats' benefit, and you're seeing that in the polling data right now. But I want people to know, at the ACLJ, we are fighting for life every single day.
Absolutely.
And we're looking at a case right now that is one of these people that got arrested by DOJ recently.
Right.
Haven't decided yet, but we're looking
at it. For a FACE violation, that's right. And abortion, again, is a number one, I think, or one of the top reasons that conservatives vote. Democrats tried to switch it and make it theirs. I do think it's kind of backfired because now a lot of Democrats, they care about inflation and they're not caring about abortion, but the pro-lifers still do care about abortion. So I hope it does backfire, you know, when we come November. Sorry, I can't come November. I hope we see a complete backfire and that the conservatives win.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We got a full second half hour coming up, so if you're hanging on the line, we will get to all of your calls and more.
Secular Brothers today?
Yep. Well, another Secular Brothers podcast today, third one of this week. It'll be the final one this week, so check that out as well. Through our social media platforms, you'll find it this afternoon.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Starting out with a poll out of USA Today, it showed an interesting shift just in the country, a generic ballot shift of about 8 points. So when the poll was taken in July, Democrats had a generic Republican-Democrat ballot, who are you going to vote for, a 44-40% lead. There was about 16% undecided voters. Now, there's been an 8-point swing towards Republicans when they took the same poll just now, and they just released it, to Republicans now have a 4-point lead, and it's getting closer to 50%. And here's why. Most of the voters who said they were undecided back in July, 16% of those polled, so not a ton, but that's still a lot enough to move, yeah, to move any race, 16% of voters, almost all of those 16% who were undecided have moved when they talked to the USA Today pollsters to the GOP. That is an extremely good sign. That means that the undecided voters who are not, they don't feel like they're loyal to one party or another, yeah, have moved to the Republicans. If they can keep it there,
yeah,
for these final couple of weeks, that is why when they're showing the maps, it's the potential. But remember, every one of these races is 2-3 points.
I was just going to ask you that, because you look at they're saying they're like there's all this enthusiasm in Pennsylvania because, sure, Oz is now tied. In fact, why don't we could take Jennifer's call if we've got time. We do. Let's go ahead and take Jennifer's call in line five. But it's the celebration is he's tied.
Right.
Not he's plus five. He's tied.
Exactly. And I think that, again, because he's made up so much ground,
yeah,
that means the momentum is favoring you, which means by Election Day you could be up. You know, and
except half the people are going to be voting. So you got to really get everybody to vote.
Absolutely, because half the people have already voted. A lot of people already voted way before they saw what Fetterman was going to be like on the debate stage.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Hey, Jennifer, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks, guys, for taking, sure, my call. I'll just give you a little perspective. Myself and all my family moved from California, native, to Pennsylvania about a year ago. And if people don't want their states to turn into California and the country, they need to vote. And the thing is, it's like if you go back to when Biden got into office, he was almost dead in the water in the primaries until South Carolina. Sure. And then look what happened. Boom, he became president. And we still live in some of the greatest countries for voting rights, and yes, we have to take advantage of it.
Yeah, the one thing I want to make sure people don't do is get this notion that's been floating around, I'm not going to vote because it doesn't count. Now, Jennifer, you're in Pennsylvania, so you've got a couple of neck-and-neck races. How are you feeling? How does it look? You've got a governor's race, you got a Senate race, Oz Fetterman, and then it's Mastriano against Shapiro. The governor's race seems to be a much bigger margin. What are you sensing on the ground?
Definitely, I think Shapiro's going to win. I don't think we did the best, my personal opinion, yeah, and for a purple state, that's not the right governor to, right, nominate for Mastriano, but I do think Oz could definitely win. I mean, it just depends, in my feeling, is how much early voting occurred before the debate.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And George, and a question like that, where you've got, that's a split ticket. Explain that to what?
Again, I think that we see it more in the Northeast than we'd see it in a lot of states. That's why I believe it more in a Pennsylvania or a New York, where it's a flip side. But like where the New York, where Zeldin could win easily and maybe by a few points, but Zeldin could win and Schumer could win, in the same way that Oz could win and Shapiro could win in Pennsylvania. I think when you start getting into redder states, voters are much more in line with their party. And so that's why the Georgia numbers don't quite add up to me, where Herschel Walker is in the statistical dead heat and Kemp has got, you know, an 8-10 point lead in most of the latest polling. So where does it fall? Well, we'll all know after Election Day. But this is why at this point, just assume every race is winnable. What's the flip side of that? You could lose every race. So take it seriously. Get out, make sure you vote, and then try and get, you know, 10, 15, 20 more other people to vote. Try to find some new voters to vote our way as well. That's very important, to add people to the conservative vote. We'll be right back on Seculo. Welcome back to Secular. We're joined by our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security. He was also election expert. He's been traveling the country, but we're going to talk about some of the foreign policy issues. We're going to continue to take your calls, too, on what's motivating you to get out to vote. What are your friends and family talking about? We've seen these polls where things are really starting to shift back towards the issues that you would imagine. Getting people out, the economy, inflation, just this idea of the economic uncertainty. They're going to try to use this third quarter report, by the way, to say, oh, look, we're out of a recession. But when you look at the numbers in the third quarter report, the truth is that you see weaker housing numbers, decelerating consumer spending,
right,
an economy that is slowing. So it still feels like whatever the numbers show, it still feels that way. But I want to go to something international that's affecting all of us, which is how much the gas prices cost. And Rick Grenell, again, with your foreign policy experience, Rick, this idea, we now have the Secretary of State who's come out, Secretary Blinken. We are going to totally reevaluate our relationship with the Saudis at a time because of their move on cutting oil production, but we're picking a fight with the kingdom.
Look, I've actually even seen some Senate Democrats talking about the fact that they should investigate Saudi Arabia for interfering in our election. And the way that they look at this is that they're literally saying because the Saudis didn't respond to Joe Biden's pressure to manipulate the oil price through the election, because they didn't help him manipulate the election, that they decided to interfere in our election. But I mean, it's totally messed up. But the media are trumpeting this. Look, no one should be surprised that the Biden administration is finding themselves at odds with Saudi Arabia. They, from day one, when they came in, they picked a fight. They rehashed the Khashoggi incident. They manipulated intelligence to repackage it and pretend like something was new. They did that clearly because what they were trying to do is send a message to Iran that they could meet them at the table and show Iran that their nemesis, their opponent, Saudi Arabia, was also going to be under pressure from the United States. But this was a disaster from the beginning, and now we're seeing it unfold.
Rick, but doesn't the fact that we've got this, awkward, I would call it, I guess is being kind, relationship with Saudi Arabia, when we had a great relationship with Saudi Arabia, we've got military assets in Saudi Arabia, the relationship between Israel and Saudi Arabia has never been stronger, to pick a fight with the Saudis right now because they won't give you the oil price you want, they got to protect their own economy too, seems to be counterintuitive, except this whole administration seems to be counterintuitive.
Yeah, and you hit it on the head, Jay. Look, we also always have to remember to talk about the reforms that are desperately needed in Saudi Arabia. This is a country that systematically denies basic human rights. So we always have to be able to call them out. And yet, what you're alluding to is the fact that we had a really good relationship where we were pushing them for reform. There was even talk about the Saudis signing the Abraham Accords, and that would have been unbelievably historic. That's how far we were making progress. Now, of course, they still are problematic in many ways, but for the Middle East, for that region, it's really important to make sure that Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon. We have to work very closely with the Saudis and all others in that region to ensure that Iran, this terrible regime, doesn't get a nuclear weapon. They've already said they want to wipe Israel off the map. You've got Iran wanting to wipe Israel off the map. You have the Saudis moving towards a possible, Abraham Accord signature peace deal with Israel. So we need to be very realistic about this relationship and picking a fight over, some sort of manipulation of the elections and gas prices, the midterms, I think is a real problem.
It's interesting because the Saudi energy minister put out the message very clearly in English, quote, people are depleting. He didn't say the U.S., but obviously you could read into this. People are depleting their emergency stocks. They've used it as a mechanism to manipulate markets, while its profound purpose was to mitigate the shortage of supply. And he says, my profound duty to make it clear to the world that losing emergency stock may become painful in the months to come. Rick, we talked about the concern of using the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in the United States as a cost reduction method for political purposes, not for just national security purposes. The Saudis have picked up on the same line of reasoning. And I think the long-term message here is, unless something changes very dramatically between the relationship, is they're going to continue cutting production.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point, because we've seen now the Biden administration do two very political things to try to manipulate gas prices and help them in the election. One is using the Strategic Reserve, which is really meant for crises, serious crises, not for political crises. And by the way, political crises that they have made, they are responsible. When you cut production, when you mock those people who are doing production, it's going to be a real problem later on for the equilibrium price. That's pretty basic economics. So we're seeing the Biden administration do what they always do, which is play politics, manipulate the situation, and then point the finger at the other guy saying, wait a minute, you're the one playing politics. We see it over and over at DOJ, the IRS, and now we're seeing it with foreign policy.
I'm going to take some calls here, Rick. 1-800-684-3110. Move to kind of a domestic politics for a moment. 1-800-684-3110. Let's take the line four.
Yeah, Charlene calling from New Jersey on line four. Hey, Charlene.
Hey, how are you guys doing
great
today? I have a couple questions. Well, actually, it's kind of like one question, but it has to deal with Pennsylvania.
Yep.
They came out on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd and said they're not going to be able to count all the votes by the end of Election Day, which I think is ridiculous. And two, the Supreme Court came out and said that the fact that they were counting ballots without valid dates on it was not were against the law.
Correct.
And they came out with the ruling and said you can't do that. But PA came out and said they're going to do it anyway. I don't understand why they can get away with this.
Well, they on the latter, Rick, I could address that, because the one case I had at the Supreme Court during the election was Pennsylvania. And it was those late, remember the court changed the date upon which the ballots could come in. And the legislature, under the laws of Pennsylvania, that is solely within the discretion of the legislature. So I went to the Supreme Court of the United States, one, got a stay from Justice Alito, referred to the court, we got it, and they had to segregate those votes. I want to dispel something, though, Rick, because we're hearing this every day, and you're out in the field. People have to vote, and not you're hearing things about they're not going to count this, they're not going to count that. We have got to get people have to go out and vote. And the problem when you hear all this negative and naysaying is people won't. And I think that cost us in Georgia last time. We cannot do that again.
Yeah, look, we have to make it very difficult for them to cheat by having everybody vote. And everybody votes and we have an overwhelming win, then it's very hard for them to cheat. So I would encourage everybody to get out and vote. This is crucial. We know the voter rolls are a mess. We know mailing ballots to people on voter rolls when the voter rolls are a mess is a real problem. We have to clean that up. I think we have much more aggressive legal action on Election Day. We have legal teams in the swing states where there could be a problem. They're ready to go. I know in Nevada and Arizona specifically, we're very ready to go.
How do you feel about the Laxalt race? It looks like he's up +2. I mean, it's close. Obviously, everybody needs to vote.
Yeah, look, everybody needs to vote. I think Adam has run an incredible campaign. And one of the things that I would just say is get out in Nevada and vote. Support Adam Laxalt. I think he's up. I think he's going to win.
All right.
All right, Rick, as always, we appreciate it. We'll keep you on the broadcast, keep you updating with everybody throughout these next couple of weeks, because, again, people are traveling the country. We got a great team of folks.
But underscore what Rick and I said, and you've been saying, you got to vote, folks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do not. And Rick, I if you're still with us, we got to underscore this. There's this sentiment that's out there that, oh, what happened in 2020, and it's what's the point? The point is it matters. Your vote's going to count. I think reiterating that would be really helpful right now, because I'm watching the comments come in.
Yeah, I think you've got to vote, and I think you've also got to realize is that we have done some fundamental fixes.
Right.
Clearly, there's more things to do, but we're much more aggressive about the legal operations.
Yes.
And we're going to be watching. They are not going to be able to manipulate like they did before. We still have work to do. We're getting better, but you got to get out and vote and help us.
Yeah, I mean, one of the issues in Pennsylvania, and thank you, Rick, for joining us. One of the issues in Pennsylvania that why they say you might not get election night is because we put in laws in place that said don't start opening those ballots and counting until the election is over, you know, until it's 7 p.m. or whatever time
right
it is.
The legislature has the right to do it. It's a Republican legislature. Yeah, that's what they decided to do.
It's going
to
take, so with a lot of early voting, they got to figure, you know, you got to open up all those ballots and count them. Because there was that going on, too, where they were counting ballots already before the actual election day. I think there's a discussion, too. I heard Kelly Lake talk about it out in Arizona, is that election day is really not election day anymore. And so with so many people voting before they've got kind of the full picture of who they're voting for, I think we can always question the idea of how early should early voting begin.
Right.
I think a couple weeks out is fine, because by then I think
I'd even go 3 weeks out. I think once you get past a month, that's getting crazy.
Yeah, but I think that, yes, because then you don't really know the full picture yet of who you're voting for, and you still need, and people need to be educated. You want people to have the time to actually know who they're voting for, what they're voting for. We're going to take your calls when we come back on Seculum. I want to thank folks for holding on so we can get to your phone calls, because, again, I think it's across the country we're seeing races that we're not tracking, you know, a month ago even, that are now being tracked very closely, and we want to hear from you. I mean, I think wherever you are, there's a race that's probably close, if not a statewide race, a local race, a house race, or even a more local race than that. So let me go in order of people that have been holding on. Let me start with Ken in New Hampshire on line three. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I love your show, and I love Logan and Jordan's show, too.
Oh, great, great.
So we, you know, we were told in early in the summer that our rates were going to be doubled electricity wise, and they went up. My rate was over $560 for a month in July. Now they've been coming down a bit, but that's a huge issue up here, right? As you can probably imagine, because we're entering winter, it's going to be cold. And you know, we have a, you know, a Senate race, we have a House race. So I think it's the economy and energy up here. And I think that's really a big deal.
You know,
we have just one more second,
go ahead.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
So my family is split three ways. I'm very conservative. My parents are very conservative. My sister is quite left-leaning, and my brother doesn't care. Right. And we all live in New Hampshire, and it's just a strange place up here when it comes to politics.
Well, you do have it. You've been unique. Up there. I've been up there, Jordan. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's unique. I mean, you play important roles in the primary process, presidential role. It's a state where voters are expected to, like, there's only a couple states like this. I say Iowa and New Hampshire, where, like, if voters expect, like, the candidate to be at their house for president of the United States. So certainly a Senate candidate should be knocking on my door and should be spending time, like, in my home. That is not normal for most of us in the country. We're not used to, like, you may go to a fundraiser or something like that, or a rally, but you're not necessarily in a group of five people with a candidate. So, yes, New Hampshire is unique. Again, we're watching that Senate race very closely.
What do you think can happen there?
It's tough to predict New Hampshire. I think Maggie Hassan is in some trouble, but it'll be turnout based. They're all within 5-6 points. So,
and very close.
Turnout is going to be key.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Ken mentioned Logan and Jordan's show. That is the Seculum Brothers podcast, which is doing just great. And it's a fun podcast. It's insightful. You're going to learn a lot. You're also going to have a good time listening to it. SeculumBrothers.com. And it's anywhere you get your podcasts, you can download it.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's on Facebook,
Apple
Rumble,
Podcast,
and YouTube.
Spotify. And we encourage you to check those out. But yeah, we also broadcast it on video, so you can actually see us as part of the broadcast. And that's through Facebook, Rumble, and YouTube.
Right. All right, let's go take another call.
Yep, we're still going in order. So we'll go to Deanna in Oregon on line two next. Hey, Deanna.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, great.
My first comment is, I feel that we've had a lot of people fight for our freedoms, and they're still fighting for our freedoms, and government is trying to take them all away. They're trying to tell us how to raise our kids and what we need to do in schools. My biggest reason for voting, yes, for the political parties that is running. We have three people that are running for governor, and it's going to be very close, and it's a split thing, and I don't like it. But the biggest reason is we've got a ballot measure, and I don't know if I can say what ballot measure number it is, but it's about gun control. and it will strip us of all of our freedoms, hunting, fishing, you name it.
Yeah, it's a wild one. It requires...
But it got enough signatures to get on.
Yeah, and it requires you, before you purchase a firearm, to go through training, which is usually like a concealed carry.
Yeah.
Some states have that for concealed carry. Though constitutional carries become...
The Republican
popular.
Is up in the Oregon governor.
Yeah, Drazen is up. But this, the police unions have said, listen, we don't have enough police to train people to do this. So your Second Amendment rights will be violated. That's an interesting ballot measure, because I think that's one that if it does pass in Oregon, and that becomes, I think that's very challengeable in federal court to the, because I
violation
think
it, of the Second Amendment.
Yes. People, again, we don't have those kind of rules where you need to be trained before. Now, sometimes to have special permits you do, but not to just purchase a firearm, especially like you said, hunting and issues like that. And the police unions, they're saying, hey, we don't have enough facilities to even train people to do that. But again, thanks for bringing that up too on the air. Let's go to Francis in Indiana on line one. Hey, Francis.
Hi, thank you for taking my phone call. Sure. I really love listening to you, and I really, there's nothing I have disagreed with you on. And I wanted to say, I live in a blue congressional district in a red state. And I'm in the process of, actually yesterday I voted, my son and I voted, because on election day I am working in the polls and I want you to keep me busy. What I want to say is that your vote counts. It's like a drop in the bucket, enough drops in the bucket and it fills that bucket. No drops equal an empty bucket. And we cannot have empty or not filled buckets.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. We all come together. These votes, they add up very quickly. Just think about drive down your neighborhood, drive down your home, just to like the main road, and think about how many voters there are in that neighborhood that you could contact, that your friends and people that you know in your community. You start adding that up. You might drive by 100. You might drive by 40, 30, 20. That's how you start filling that bucket up. And you want to talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends and family. And they're, because there are people, there are more and more people voting now that have never voted before.
No, that's 100%. Let's take your calls, 800-684-31. Tell and take one more here. Lynette is calling from Washington State. Lynette, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the debacle in Afghanistan. What do you think will play out for the election?
I think that people are looking at what our world standing looks like right now, globally. Afghanistan's withdrawal is an example of, and you said botched, and that's kind of being kind, the disastrous withdrawal plan that was implemented by the Biden administration is symptomatic of our foreign policy across the board. And, you know, it used to be our enemies fear us, our allies trust us. Now I don't know what it is. I mean, you got a mess in Eastern Europe, and that's with Russia and Ukraine that could easily displace. Not only is it already displacing people, but going to displace the economy this winter. There's no doubt about it. So I think all of these have an impact. We did Logan did a special, a series I think of 10 videos on Afghanistan. What will we put in? What's the best way to get it, Will?
YouTube channel.
Yeah, if you go to the ACLJ YouTube channel, you could, and it's got, I mean, Tulsi Gabbard's in it, Mike Pompeo. I mean, it's really fantastic that we're able to put that together. But it shows you that our world standing has changed, and those policies play, but they do not play like the economy.
No, it is again, we know right now in this election cycle, all the polling, it's shifted even in the last couple of months, to where people who were saying that abortion was the most important issue to them are now saying the economy is the most important issue to them. So even left-leaning voters who would be, you know, consider themselves pro-abortion and that a very important issue to them, it's not the most important issue to them. And people actually breaking down, it's the economy, inflation, and then crime is also high on the list. And this is the United States of America. It's a sad state, but we can do something about it by getting out the vote. And that is happening as we speak. It's not just November 8th. Election day is today in most states throughout November 8th. So make sure you've made your time, figured out where you're going to vote, but also get your friends and family to vote. conservative as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Secular. As always, we encourage you to go to aclj.org to learn about what the American Circle on Justice is doing.